I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 1. And we're actually going to start a little bit earlier than the reading on the PowerPoint. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And I invite you, as we listen to this passage, to ask God just to help you hear it with new ears. This is a passage that we've all heard many times, but I know that God desires to speak again to us through it this morning, and so we want to be open to that. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And if you'll turn to the book of Philippians, to chapter 2, we read these verses. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind as Christ Jesus." I invite you to take some time and in silence reflect on these passages as we prepare to look at them together. God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for how you are faithful to speak to us through it. And we offer ourselves, God, in these moments to you, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, and that you would speak to us. And we ask, God, not only that we would gain in information about the Scripture, but God, we invite you to transform us, to work in us by your Holy Spirit, so that increasingly the life of Jesus is visible in our lives, that his life would be seen in us. So God, transform us, make us anew into the women and men that you dream of us being, so that your kingdom would come, that your kingdom would grow in our lives and through our lives. And we pray this, God, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So our theme this morning is transformation. And we've talked about that a little already. What are some things that you see that have been transformed, that have been dramatically changed? One of the things that we have seen transformed lately is water, right? We've seen liquid water transformed into solid water. Anybody else, something that you've seen that's been transformed? Maybe something that has been transformed that you wish hadn't been transformed, like lots of liquid water into solid water. The seasons, that's right. Every year, that is that. That's right. Every year there is that cycle of transformation. That's right. There is always that cycle of transformation with the weather. Somebody else, something that you've seen transformed. That's right. That's right. We see people grow up. We see people transformed from little kids into teenagers, into adults. We see transformation there. Be thinking this morning. Yeah. What are... Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Okay. Brown hair to gray hair. Yes, I can relate to that. There's a reason why I don't have a beard anymore, because it comes in gray now. There you go. There you go. Be thinking this morning about places in your life that you would like God to transform, things that you would like God to change in your life, because God comes to us as a God of transformation, a God who is powerful to work in us and to change us. One of the examples of transformation in the Scripture is Mary. Think about Mary. Mary is a young girl. Depends on who you talk to, how old she was, but not very old. And she is engaged to this man who cares deeply for her, and she is dreaming about their life together, about perhaps starting a family, building a business, what their lives are going to be like when they're together. And this angel shows up and gives her this strange greeting. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, those seem like comforting words, but they scare Mary. They frighten her, so that the angel has to say to her what the angel always says, right? When the angel appears to people in the Scripture, the first words out of the angel's mouth are always, do not be afraid. What are the things in your life that are making you afraid these days? What are the things in your life that are creating anxiety for you? And I want you to imagine God speaking to you this morning and saying, do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. God is with you. God loves you, and God is for you. That is the thing that we see most clearly in the coming of Jesus, is that God is with us and God is for us. There is never a time when God is absent from our lives. There is never a time when God is against us. God is always for us. And so Mary hears this really strange greeting from this angel, and then she's comforted by the angel, and she receives this prophecy of a miraculous birth. And God says, you're going to have this child, and this child is going to be the culmination of thousands of years of expectation. This child's life is going to represent God making good on God's promises. And so Mary has an incredible response to God's word. Mary says, if you look at it there in verse 38, Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me according to your word." Now, there are lots of things in our lives that when God says to us, they're going to happen. When God works in our lives to make clear to us God's direction for our lives, we kind of pull back from that and we say, Lord, I don't want it to be that way. That scares me. That frightens me. That intimidates me. I don't want it to be that way. But Mary's response is simply to say, "May it be to me as you have said." One of the things that this passage teaches us about God is that God delights in keeping God's promises. When Mary goes to see, when the angel speaks to Mary, one of the things that the angel says is, no word from God will ever fail. You belong, my sisters and brothers, to a God who keeps promises, to a God who makes good on God's word. And it may take a long time. It may take longer than we'd like. How many of you have had that experience of waiting for something a lot longer than you would like to wait? It can be for your birthday, right? It can be for something else in your life. It can be for God to make good on one of God's promises. But no matter how long it takes, God is faithful and God makes good on God's promises. And so God can be trusted. We can rely on God. We can say with Mary, "May it be to me according to your word," because we can trust the God who speaks to us. We can trust the God who makes those promises because God is faithful. One of the other things that we learned in this passage is that God is a God who loves justice. And there are a lot of times when we get used to things that are not right, when we get used to things that are unjust, when we get used to things that are not as they should be, and we just say, you know, that's the way the world is. That's the way that things have always been. That's the way that things are always going to be. And so we become complacent and we become indifferent to evil and injustice around us. But Mary is a revolutionary, isn't she? Mary sings the song of praise. She speaks this poem of transformation, and she says, this is what God is like. This is the God who scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. This is the God who brings down rulers from their thrones. And so understand, in this Christmas season, a lot of times we try and our culture tries very hard to sentimentalize Jesus and to sentimentalize Christmas. If we can just reduce it all to a nativity set that we can put in a corner of our living room, then we don't have to be concerned with the fact that God is a God of justice. If we can just shrink it down to exchanging gifts and accumulating more stuff and eating a lot of food and being with family, then we don't have to deal with the fact that when God comes in the person of Jesus, that is God acting boldly. That is God changing everything and bringing about justice. And so Mary says God is a God who fills the hungry with good things. Now, that's not the way our world is it? Because hunger is on the increase in our nation. And there are people all around our world who are hungry. There are people who die for lack of food. We don't think about that very often because God has blessed us with food security. But there is a lot of food insecurity, even right here in Lancaster. There are children and families that don't have enough to eat. And Mary recognizes that God is a God who loves justice. And so when Mary talks about God, Mary says, God, you know, God sends the proud away empty. God sends the rich away empty. The ones who you think would have it made, who would have everything that they want, God just waves them away, but God fills the hungry up with good things. And I want to remind you in this season that you don't have the privilege to take a God of justice and reduce that God to a God of sentiment. God does not exist to take care of you alone. God does not exist just to bless you, just to make you happy. God does not exist for your purposes. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, when we become followers of Jesus, that means that He takes over our lives. And our lives don't belong to ourselves anymore. They belong to Him. They belong to Jesus. And so Jesus is a God who loves justice. And when we say yes to Him, when we become His disciples, that means that we need to begin to work for justice. And that our following Him, that our living as His disciples, our living as imitators of Him is incomplete until His life begins to spill out through our lives and His life in us begins to create justice in our world. So I want to challenge you. You may need to go back to the store this Christmas, not to get more stuff, but maybe to take some stuff back. Because if your economic patterns don't create justice in our world, if you are not on the side of the God who sends the rich away empty, but who fills up the poor with good things, then that is less than the discipleship that Jesus calls us to. That is less than following Him. And so you may need to make some changes in how you do Christmas this year to be all that Jesus wants you to be as a follower of His. Because that's the God who comes to us in Jesus. That's the God who envisions this incredible reversal where rulers are dethroned and where the established order of the world is transformed. And it happens when God's people just say yes to God. That's the example that Mary gives us. That's the example that her life calls us to. Is that there is incredible power just in trusting God, in saying to God, may it be to me as you have said. I believe this morning that there are some places in your life where you need to say to God, may it be to me as you have said. And you need to trust God. You need to just step out in dependence on God in simple obedience to God, and God will reward that. God will validate that. Just like God validated Mary's obedience. It wasn't an easy road that Mary was embarking on when she said yes to God, when God announced to her that she would become the mother of Jesus. It was a long, hard road. We know the end of the story. We know that one of the places on Mary's story is to stand there at the foot of the cross and to see her son tortured to death because of his obedience to God. And so saying yes to God doesn't mean that life is going to be simple. It doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. But that's the life to which God calls us. And there is no better life than to say yes to God. There's no better way to live than to follow Jesus and to just say, may it be to me, Lord, as you have said? What are the places in your life that you need to say that? What are the places in your life that you need to just open yourself to God and trust God to do for you what you can't do for yourself, to make of your life what God wills? The thing that unlocks God's power in Mary's life is just for her to commit herself to simple obedience, to be God's servant. What does Mary say? She says, "I am your servant. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." When we serve God, we make a commitment to serve other people. And so what I want to invite you to this week is just to reflect on those words from Philippians. I challenge you just to go home and to write those down on a card and to put them where you'll see them every day and to say, look, it would be easy for me to live a self-focused life this week. It would be easy for me to design a life where I'm in charge and where everything revolves around me. But instead, I want to live a life that revolves first around God and then around the needs of other people. And so I want to be a servant. In a moment, we're going to take some time for response, and this is how I want you to design that response time. You've got a piece of paper. We've given you a bulletin. There's some margin space there. You've either got something to write with, or you can nudge the person next to you and borrow something to write with. And what I invite you to do is to reflect on those words from Philippians and then to ask God to bring to your mind the names of three people that you can serve this week in just a specific way that you can serve them. It can be somebody in your family. It can be someone at work. It can be someone in the community. It might be reorganizing your Christmas plans. It might be reorganizing your schedule so that you make room in your life for somebody else to give God the opportunity to touch their life through you. So I want you to take some time and reflect on that, and then I'll close that time of reflection in a prayer together. As we serve other people in the name of Jesus, we open up our lives to transformation. We open up our lives to being changed into the people that God desires for us to be. And so I invite you this week to seek transformation through serving others in the name of Jesus. Pray with me. God, we thank you that we don't exist for ourselves. That would be a small life. But God, we thank you that you have given our lives value and significance by creating us for yourself, creating us in love and in grace, creating us, God, for joy and for wholeness, creating us for peace. And so, God, we invite you to spend our lives this week in service to others. We invite you to make us mindful, sensitive to, aware of the needs of those around us. God, take off the blinders that we wear that restrict our vision just to that narrow path in front of us, God. And open up our hearts and our lives to those around us. And we invite you, God, to transform us, that we would become who you dream of us being. And we ask this, God, that you would be glorified, that your kingdom would come, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.